I love it when we come to church and there's a holy hum, but it feels really funny to talk to just a few people, but that's okay. Jesus knew who was going to be here before we did. And he is not shocked or surprised by who shows up or who doesn't. But what his prayer for us is this morning, that we would be obedient in every moment that we have with him and with each other. And we don't have to just leave the moments here in this building, but we take those and we take Jesus in our heart with us so that we are out there in the mission field where we belong and praying that our lives are a blessing to others. So today I just pray that, Father, you would be glorified in our worship. Above all things, Lord, that what we can give is 100% and that we hold nothing back. So, Father, I pray for a newfound freedom, like we are praying for Brother James in the prayer room this morning, that each one of us would be free, God, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be glorified and you would be honored today in our worship. Bless each one, Lord Jesus, as they enter into your presence and recognize that you are the Lord of all and you are theirs and they are yours. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Says me down, fights. Thank you. because the Holy Spirit calls us to worship. And it doesn't matter what you sound like. I'm up here. Doesn't matter what I sound like. I don't care. I'm worshiping the Lord. And that's what He wants from each of us, even if it is only this day of the week. So we're going to sing this bridge again, and I want you all to open your mouths and open your hearts and open your arms and sing. Let that lion roar the praises of your spirit to the Lord, who deserves every single bit of it.
Thank you.
Trust is in you, because our eyes are not always going to see what he has for us, and we have to trust him that he has our best interest at heart, that he has his glory for us when we trust him, whether our eyes are wide open or whether they're closed tight, whether he's blinded them for a moment or he's opened them for us to see. We need to trust him. We need to trust that he's going to lead us and grow us in what he has for us for him, to teach others and to lead others to him, to the joy and the love and the salvation that we get to enjoy. We need to trust that he's going to use us for that, and that we need to trust that he's going to answer those prayers for those people. So we're going to sing this again a couple of times, but we're going to sing, "My Trust Is in You." Thank you. Lord, we lift Pastor Mike to you, Lord, as you speak through him your words of encouragement and teaching. Lord, as we hear what you have to say to us, Lord, let our hearts be ready to receive it, and let our minds and our hearts stew on it through the week, Lord, and use it for our growth in you. And Lord, we thank you for those who've come to serve and worship with us today, whether it's here or online. Lord, we know that you are touching every heart, and none of us will leave this place unchanged. Lord, we just thank you for your graciousness and your mercy on us. There's no other place that we can find it except in you. And we just thank you for it, and we pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. So hug necks, get coffee and tea and hot chocolate, and we'll be back in a minute.
All right. Let's get ready. We're going to do our heart of the house declaration because we love this church. We love this house. It is God's house. Therefore, it is ours too. So I want to make sure we're declaring good things and speaking good things over it. So go ahead and go to the first slide, please. Perfect. Okay, we're going to say this on the count of three in cadence. 3, 2, 1. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Yes, God, we just thank you so much for this amazing opportunity that we get today to just worship you and to just listen to the word that you're going to speak through Pastor Mike. We just declare that our hearts would be open to receive, and that we would take something home with us, something new, something fresh. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Do you want to mention this, or you want me to go ahead and just talk about it, babe? This Friday, between 8 and 9, the ladies are going to be heading towards Sutherland, Oregon. Is it still...
Ask me a question.
Oh, I think it's still open, though, if someone wants to go, right?
Yes. Amen. Anybody who wants to add to it, we'll add them to it.
Okay. And they can get hold of Pastor Gay, or they can call Nancy.
Yeah.
Call Nancy? Okay, call Nancy. And you guys should have an amazing time. A women's conference, that's always a great time to have the Lord touch your heart and do amazing things. Amen? And then... been talking about it a couple times during messages. So on October 15th, that's 2 Sundays from now, we're going to have baptisms. And so I've got a couple of folks that have already said that they're interested. And so if you know someone that needs to be baptized or wants to be baptized, if in your heart you're feeling that the Lord's been revealing things to you about what you have not really known about baptism before, kind of like with me when I was really filled in my heart with the idea of being crucified with Christ, and that when I went down into the waters of baptism a second time, it was like I was re-identifying with that truth, not necessarily for salvation, but just so that that truth would come alive in my heart and me saying, Lord, I'm giving myself again to you in this area where I'm crucified with you. October 15th, it'll be during the service, so I'm looking forward to seeing what God does in all those lives that are opened up for baptism. And then I want to thank you for giving. You can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. You can give up in the treasure chest or in the back as you go out. Know that as you give to the Lord, he will press down good measure, shaken over, and men will give unto your bosoms as you give. And it's amazing how God blesses us, maybe not financially the exact same way, but in other areas of our life, we're blessed when we're faithful givers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, over the past few weeks, I've been communicating about several different things. I barely remember it sometimes, so to have you guys tell me what it is. But one of the ideas was that we're reigning in life through the one Jesus Christ. That we don't have to let our flesh, we don't have to let sin, we don't have to let the old man rule us anymore. That we have dominion over that. And part of that is what we learned last week, that the Spirit dwells in us, right? The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is the reason that we can have dominion over this life. It's not that we just choose to and, you know, we just all of a sudden will it into purpose. It doesn't happen that way. It's when we submit to God and we let the Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts. And so I just want to encourage all of you as we go into this message to open up your heart to receive what the Lord has for us. Father, right now we just come before your throne of grace. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can find help and mercy in time of need. And Lord, some of us are thinking, what does time of need have to do with that? Lord, we need your truth in our life. Lord, we desperately need the truth of God in these days. Lord, there's so many things out there vying for our attention, trying to get us to focus on lies of the enemy, lies that are meant to trip us up and keep us from walking in the truth of who you are in our lives and the power that that brings in our lives. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're working in every heart that's hearing me right now, every heart that's here, every heart that's hearing online. Lord, that you are working in them for your good pleasure. So right now, Lord, I pray that the truth, Lord, that will make us free, Lord, will penetrate any darkness, would penetrate any lies that the enemy has built up on as a stronghold in our lives, and that we would be able to walk, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord. Walk, Lord, as you have designed us to walk, not as the world walks or not as we used to walk, Lord, but walking in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello. Right on the bat. It's not working. There we go. So we're walking in the Spirit today. I know that's the dwelling, Spirit dwelling in you, but you need the Spirit dwelling in you to walk in the Spirit. So our verse for today is this, Galatians 5, 16 through 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So when we walk in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Does that sound a lot like reigning in life? It sure does to me. If we're fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, are we reigning in life over our sin? No. So I believe that a key is, first of all, realizing that the Spirit dwells in us. That Holy Spirit isn't somewhere out there that we have to try to connect with him on Sunday morning. Now, we did sing, Holy Spirit, fill us. And I think there is a truth about Holy Spirit reviving us and filling us. But it's more of a Spirit waking up in us. Because the Holy Spirit's been given to us. And I don't think the Holy Spirit's been given to us in just piecemeal. I believe that, as the scriptures say, we have the fullness of God. And we have the fullness of the Spirit as we have the fullness of God. And so when we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It won't happen, because you can't be walking in the Spirit and fulfilling the desires of the lusts of the flesh. It's impossible. It's basically like just planting grass, you know, and then without having any weeds sown in your grass, having weeds grow up instead of grass. It doesn't happen. It's like planting an apple tree and getting acorns. It's not going to happen. That's not the fruit that's being planted. And so when we walk in the Spirit, we are planting into spiritual things. When we walk in the flesh, we're walking to receive fleshly things. And then it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. This is very similar to last week when we heard that the flesh is enmity against God. What's it mean? It's in battle. It's an enemy of God. Our flesh wants to fight God. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5, 24 through 25. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this is what I was talking about being crucified with Christ. It's easier to crucify my flesh if I believed I'm crucified. It's easier to put my flesh under my feet, which is Christ's feet, right? Because I'm part of the Christ body. Put my flesh under the feet of the Lord and say, it has no dominion over me. We learned that sin has no dominion over us any longer. But does it? It does if we don't believe by faith. I know I beat this like a broken record, but it really is us believing by faith, us having confidence in God that what he said is true, that he's not lying, that he's not just feeding us a bunch of lines to keep us, just interested enough to follow him. No, he's feeding us truth so that the truth will transform our lives. See, I was praying at the very beginning. If we come to the place where we experience truth, not just hear it. How many have heard truth before? How many have applied every truth that you've ever heard to your life? We haven't, have we? When you apply it, it means that you've experienced it in such a way that now you're free in that area to apply it. In other words, truth is only truth to us if we receive it. Otherwise, it's information. Truth is only truth to us if we receive it and apply it in our lives. It's kind of like this. And, you know, this statement in James is really crazy. It says, those who look into the word and don't go and do it, in other words, they don't apply it in their lives, they're like a man who goes up to a mirror and looks into the mirror, goes, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I've got a beard, and okay, yeah, okay, and I look good today. And you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Has anybody ever done that? Not me. Maybe I'll forget the shirt I'm wearing or the socks that I'm wearing or something like that, but I'm probably not going to forget my face. But if we hear the word and we don't apply it in our lives, walk in the Spirit, it's the same thing. In other words, the truth comes in us and we say, okay, I'm going to apply this. Holy Spirit says, okay, let's activate this in your life. And we start walking in it. Then we are like a man who sees his face and remembers it. But if we don't, we're like a man who looks at his face and doesn't even remember what he looks like. That's craziness. At least to me, it's craziness. For those who have crucified the flesh. In other words, saying these passions and desires are under the blood of Jesus. They've been crucified and nailed to the cross when Christ was nailed to the cross. I like to say when Jesus was nailed to the cross, my old man was nailed to the cross. That's how I identify with being dead to sin. Because if I was nailed to the cross, what does that mean? The old Mike Lindell is dead. Behold the new Mike Lindell that lives. Galatians 5. Not Galatians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. If we live in the Spirit, what does that mean? It means if we believe that the Holy Spirit is alive in us, if we believe that we're Christians, if we believe that we've received the Spirit of life, then we should walk in that Spirit of life. In other words, it's a consequence of being in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a consequence of having the Spirit in us if we apply ourselves and apply the truth. Amen. Romans 8:1. Now, this is a little bit of a controversial verse. Some of the Bibles read, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it ends there. New King James and a few others say, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, whether it was added on later on because somebody thought it was necessary or it was written by Paul at that time, it doesn't matter because that is truth. Who do not walk according to the flesh? Unfortunately, when we walk according to the flesh, we feel condemned. I mean, I do. When I give myself over to my fleshly desires and my lusts, guess what? I feel condemned. I feel shame. I don't think it's meant for us to just sit here and go like, I can do anything I want and not feel condemnation. Because the enemy will come to you and say, look what you've done. The enemy will come and say, you've done this, and he'll lie to you. He'll say, you've done this, now God doesn't want you. That's not truth. Truth is, he has released us from the curse of the enemy through the cross. But it does, yeah, but it still is going to come at you when you're off doing things that are in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Ephesians 5, 6 through 8. Let no one deceive you with empty words. What does that mean? Let no one feed a bunch of bull to you. Let no one sit there through flattery and through you know, words that sound enticing. Don't follow them. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And the things were the things that are done in secret. The things that are done by them in secret that we're not even to talk about. Did you guys know that we're not even supposed to talk about the things that are done by them in secret? That's why when we get together as Christians and we start talking about the things that the world do in the dark places, that's not right. We're not even supposed to talk about the stuff that they do. We're not even supposed to mention it, not even speak about it. Let me get the verse.
So that I'm not, so you guys aren't like, oh, hey, what? It doesn't say that, Pastor. Ephesians 5, I think it's verse 5. Okay, here you go. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And that's verse 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, don't participate with them. For you were once darkness. That's that old man. That old man that was crucified with Christ. We were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Light in the Lord. What does that mean? That means that Holy Spirit has come and lived in us. See, if we have the light, I believe that that's Christ in us. And who is Christ in us? Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus into our hearts, who do we receive in that place of our hearts? The Holy Spirit, as the representative of Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's seated next to the Father, right? But through the Holy Spirit, remember, it's better for you that I go, he told his disciples. It's more expedient to use that word. In other words, it's much better. It's much better than you can ever comprehend that I'm going to the Father. Because why? I'm going to send another one to you. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. We've been going through the book of Acts. And we read how we went through the book of John, and we read in chapter, I believe it's 21, Peter, who had denied Christ three times and was out fishing again, kind of out on the North 40, you know, and probably wondering, you know, if, well, it was a great 3 years with the Messiah, but, you know, it's like, obviously I denied him. And he said in another place, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So obviously I must be denied, you know. And Jesus comes to them and he feeds them with fish and with some bread, and they catch a big bunch of fish. And Peter jumps out of the boat and he comes to Jesus on the shore, and he's having a conversation with him. And Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? And he asks him three times. And Peter kind of hems and haws a little bit, but he says, Lord, you know I love you. And finally, after those three times, you know, he's communicating to him, feed my sheep. Now, whether Peter understood it at the time or not, that he was going to be the one on the day of Pentecost standing up with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Peter in chapter 21 of John and the Peter on Pentecost Day, do they look similar? No. The Peter that's walking around and his shadow is hitting people and they're being healed, does that look similar to the Peter that's sitting on the shore with Jesus having to be restored? But Jesus told him, it's better for you, Peter, that I go to the Father, because guess what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father came, they started walking in the Spirit. That's what they did. They started walking in the Holy Spirit, and you know what? The world was turned upside down. It says that and we haven't got to that place yet, but it says these are the people that have turned the world upside down. And they were talking about the Christians of that day. That's who we should be today, family. We should be turning our world upside down. Maybe not the whole world, but we should be turning our workplaces upside down. We should be turning our family life upside down. We should be turning everything upside down where we go, because we carry the kingdom of God. We carry the Holy Spirit. For you are light, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light, walk in the Spirit. It's the same thing. We have received the light of God, the truth of God. Walk in it. Amen? Okay. Got to get an amen every now and then to realize you're still there. Okay, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you've received him, now walk in him. So if we're walking in him, who are we walking in? The Holy Spirit. If Paul is saying, like, be in Christ, it doesn't mean like we're separating from the Holy Spirit. Now, it's be in the Holy Spirit, be in Christ. It's the same thing. Be in God. It's the same language. But we have the ability to walk in the Spirit. We have the ability to walk in him. And it says rooted and built up in him. See, that's a key right there. That's why I highlighted those. Rooted. When something's rooted, what does it mean? It grounded, it's taken hold, hasn't it? When something's, I mean, if you have a tree in your yard and it hasn't rooted and it's tall and a big wind comes up, what usually happens? Goes over, right? It can't stand. But if we're rooted, you know, it says in another place that we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love in Ephesians. Rooted and grounded in love. Who is love? God. We're rooted and grounded in him. Rooted and grounded and built up in him. In other words, our whole being is foundation, and our whole being's building is in him. Now again, these are words if we don't start applying them by faith. Lord, what does that mean for me to be rooted in you? Are there areas of my life that aren't rooted in you? Have a conversation with him. Lord, is there an area of my life that I think I'm rooted in and I'm not? I'm deceiving myself. That I think I'm standing strong in an area and I'm really not, because I've neglected something. You know, you can talk to God like that and he will help correct you. And established in the faith, and as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So there's a process of staying in, walking in him, and walking in the Spirit, being rooted, built up, established in the faith, being taught, and then receiving what you've been taught, receiving the truth, and then everything you've received, give thanksgiving back to him. Lord, thank you for giving me truth. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be deceived by the enemy anymore. Thank you that your light's going to shine even brighter in my heart. Thank you that your love's been shed in my heart abroad, that I'm full of the love of God. 1 John 2, 5-6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So, If we look at this, what does it take to get the love of God perfected in us? Because it says in another place, it says his perfect love casts out what? Fear. And what does the fear have to do? Punishment. And the punishment is coming because we're not being pleasing to God in our hearts, right? And so we're afraid of punishment. So if we keep his word, and truly keep his word, we're going to have the love of God perfected in us. Now, by this, we're going to know that we are in him. So as we keep his word, and so how do we keep his word? Believe it. Yeah. And what'd you say? Obeying his commands. Yep. Hearing what he said and now following through, believing his commands, realizing that he's giving us commands that benefit us, not to keep us under his foot, not so that he can, you know, just you know, lead us around by the nose. These commands are there so that we can live a better life, right? When he gave us the Ten Commandments, did he do it to make the Israelites miserable? No, he did it to bring structure to their lives, and he did it also so that when they kept their commandments, they fulfilled the law of God, and they were in a better place than if they were, you know, having all kinds of havoc running around. Because how many know without any kind of guidance, we tend to go off the rails? By this, we know that we are in him. So when we keep his word, we have the love of God perfected in us. And this, by that, we know that we're in him. So if we're in him, then he says, he who says he abides in him, in other words, those who say, Christ is in me, Christ I have received when I got saved, Christ I have received when I turned my life over to him and quit trying to walk on my own, says that those who he who says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, without walking in the Spirit, that would be very daunting, to walk just as he walked. To walk just as he walked. I was talking to someone, it was a few weeks ago, I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but I was telling them about a situation where someone had done something to me. And I told them, I said, but I realized, you know, that they're in the process too, they're on a journey, and that they didn't necessarily know exactly what they were doing. How many know that? Just sometimes when people sin against you, they really don't know what they're doing. And if we really want to boil it down, it may not even be them who's doing it, but a spirit that's behind them. Because it says we don't war or wrestle against flesh and blood. But we tend to sometimes take that offense personally, and we start saying, okay, dude, dudette, whatever you are, I'm upset with you now, and so I'm going to respond in a certain way. And so I told them how I responded, and they said, oh, wow, that's like amazing. That's like Jesus. And I said, well, it's just the way that I responded. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, I couldn't have responded any other way. And so I realized that at that particular moment, when I responded, I was walking in the Spirit. I didn't respond in my flesh. I didn't respond with the mind of the world in a carnal mind. I responded in the way that Christ would have responded, knowing that there is something more at work than just these individuals. Right? So, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. I don't even know where I'm at in the slide, so we'll see. Romans 8, 5-6. For those who live according to the flesh, I know where we are now, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is where I want to get to. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. You're saying, Pastor Mike, that all sounds great. How do you do that? How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you keep from walking in the flesh? How do you keep from focusing on the flesh and fulfilling those lusts? Because my spirit says, yes, I want to do that. My flesh, on the other hand, the Spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak, Pastor Mike. Well, this is it. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. You could say this as well, I believe. Those who set their minds on the things of the flesh live according to the flesh. What are we setting our mind on? What captivates us? Where is our focus? Where's our eyesight? Where's our spiritual eyesight? What things are we letting into this gateway? You guys know that you're a gateway. You're a portal. Things come into you through a door, and you're the door. You know, you are the opening. You can receive good. You can receive things that are going to edify and build you up. Or guess what? You can receive things of the flesh. Things that are going to cause you to be torn down, distracted, and sometimes even move into sin, where you're living according to the flesh. And how many know when you turn on your phone and you're going to some social media site, there's a great opportunity that you're going to fall into the flesh because you're starting to see things that tantalize the flesh. Not all the time, but it can potentially be there. So, what's the opposite then that we want to do?
But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those who set their minds, their mind, will, and emotions, their whole being, who set their whole being on the things of the Spirit, live according to the Spirit. You're saying, Pastor Mike, that's not what it says. I know. What I'm trying to tell you is you get the result of the things of the Spirit and living according to the Spirit when you're setting your heart and your mind on those things instead of whatever comes your way. You're determining to focus on certain things and not just everything that comes at you. You're saying no to certain things and yes to certain things. You're saying, this, I'm the temple of God, and what do I want to let into this temple? I'm the temple of where the Holy Spirit dwells, and what do I want to do with this temple? I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? I don't want to cause the Holy Spirit grief because of my what I let in, because I can do that. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's part of the verse that we learned last week about the Spirit dwelling in us. To be carnally minded. What is that? Worldly minded. Does anybody know Romans 12:2? I know a few of us do in here because I've heard you say it before. What's it say? What? Do not be conformed. Do not be molded by the things of this world. Do not be shaped. Do not be affected, it's saying, by the things of this world. But be transformed. To be transformed means to be like metamorphosized. In other words, what's going to happen instead of being conformed to the world, just being shaped by the world, you're going to be metamorphosized. You're going to be transformed. I mean, Transformers. You guys ever seen Transformers? Anybody watch the movie Transformers? Like you got a Volkswagen Beetle, right? One moment, the next minute you've got like something that's going to put a hurt on somebody. I mean, a big one. That's because it was transformed. That's like us. We're like a little Volkswagen Beetle without Jesus. But then he transforms us into something that's going to put a hurt on the enemy and on his kingdom. Yeah, that's what it means to be transformed. Go ahead, Vicki.
When we focus on what we're trying not to do,
oh, that's good, yep.
When we focus on being spiritually minded, we give that to God to take care of that for us. Because we see every defeat. Every time we're focused on something we're trying to get rid of, we will see every defeat.
Right.
That's
Romans 7. Romans 7, the whole chapter is basically talking about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And the whole part of the first half of it is really talking about this idea that when something has died, like when a man has died, that the woman's released from the man. And what has happened with us is that when we have died, we're now released from sin. We're now set free from sin. But if we focus on sins, if we focus on do's and don'ts, like you're saying, if when we set our eyes on those, it's like setting your eyes on the flesh. You know, when you think about the thing that you're not to do, when you were a kid and your parents told you not to do something, let's just put it that way. Don't touch that hot stove. Ow! Why? Because the law activated the sin. It's the same thing. If you just set your mind on things you don't want to do all the time, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do this, and you make your life, your Christian life, about do's and don'ts, you're going to be miserable. Because that's what Paul says. Who's going to save us from this body of death? Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, we're set free from that bondage. Amen? For to be carnally minded is death. It literally is death. It's the death of what God wants to do in us. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you missing some life and peace? Be more spiritually minded. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So another principle of walking in the Spirit is sowing and reaping. It's kind of the same thing. What I'm focusing on all the time, I become.
I'm focusing on Christ, him crucified, what he's accomplished on the cross, guess what I become? What he says I'm going to become. If I focus on all these do's and don'ts, all these things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I'm going to do. So, but if you're sowing too, as it says here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Remember what I said about you sow an apple seed? Do you get an acorn tree? No. If you sow an apple seed, do you get an orange tree? No. You get an apple tree. You get an apple tree. Why? Because whatever you sow, that's going to reap what the fruit of that potential seed is. And when the enemy came to Eve and he sowed the seed, hath God said, and she started questioning the goodness of God and what God was doing in her life. Do you guys realize that's what happened to Adam and Eve? They started questioning the work of God in their life. Well, maybe he's holding something back from us. Maybe he, that's what he says, you know, no, you're going to be like him if you eat this fruit. Oh, he must be holding something back from us. He must not be for our good. He must be up to something. I know people have thought that. What is he up to? What's God doing? He must be against me. Because, I mean, how can all this bad come in my life and God be good, right? Enemy stirs up those same lies in us. And yet God had a plan that he was working in them. And they believed the lie of the enemy. Just as they sowed into that lie, they reaped, and we have reaped now, a life of sin, a life of falling short of his glory. For he who sows to the flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. So again, if we sow, if we set our minds, if we plant seeds of the flesh, guess what? We're going to reap corruption. We're going to reap death. Death and corruption, very similar. I mean, I don't know about you, but when something's corrupted, it's not a very good value. I don't know. Has anybody ever had a virus take over their whole computer and they've corrupted your hard drive? Couple? Nobody? Well, praise the Lord. You can thank Jesus for that, because I've talked to customers that have. And you know what? You have to reformat the drive. You have to start all over again because it's corrupted. It's dead. I've had people go, my computer's dead. That's to them what it is. It's dead. It won't start. And guess what? It's been corrupted. Corruption and death are right synonymous with each other. But he who sows to the Spirit. So let's say, how do I sow to the Spirit? Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of God. Colossians 3:1. What's it say? I don't know. No, I do know. I just don't want to, I don't like just quoting something and not getting the fullness of it. Okay, here it is. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, seeking them, keeping your eyes on them, keeping your mind focused on them, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:1-4. The idea here is that we have been raised with Christ. So we can set our minds, not just our mind, our heart, the very center of who we are. And this is necessary. I know I keep saying that, but it is really necessary for us, especially in these days, to know how to focus our attention properly and not be filled with all kinds of news and information that's out there, but really know what the Spirit of God is saying, really know what the truth is. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I like everlasting life over corruption. Huh? Sounds better to me. Does that mean that I'm always going to reap everlasting life? Yes, if I've sown to the Spirit.
If I've sown to the things of God, I will always reap everlasting life. Well, what about if something bad comes along? I'll reap everlasting life, because what the enemy meant for evil, I'll be able to see God's making good in my life. I'll see that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. I will, because I'm in the spirit. But if I'm in the flesh, man, I don't get this. I mean, I've served God 40-something years, and he lets this happen to my life. He lets this go on. I mean, I've been faithful to him, and he let this happen? Yeah, that's because I'm in the flesh, and I'm not able to see through his eyes. Because if I'm in the spirit, I get to see through his eyes. I don't see through my own eyes. I don't see through the eyes of the enemy. I see through the eyes of Christ, also known as the mind of Christ. Amen. Romans 6, 3 through 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? See, that's a good scripture for those who are going to be baptized. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you're saying, well, that doesn't say walk in the Spirit. It's the same thing. If we're walking in the newness of life that God has given us, we're walking in the Spirit. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, we can walk in newness of life. Not because we're something great, but because God raised him from the dead. When Christ was buried and he went into death, I say hell in the grave, because I believe he went to hell and he preached to the souls that were there, because it says that he preached to the dead. It says the dead were preached to. I think it was Jesus that preached to them. Don't you think? When he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I mean, it's pretty mysterious, but the idea is I believe that they got to hear the good news. But when he was raised from the dead after all of that, by the glory of the Father, it made it so we can walk in newness of life. It made it so that we could walk in the Spirit. So this is one thing you can say. Maybe you're having a hard time keeping your eyes on the things of the Spirit and you're always looking at the things of the earth. Say, you know what, God? Jesus, you raised from the dead. I don't know how you did it, Father. You raised him from the dead. Hey, and because you did that, I can walk in newness of life. Show me how I can do that. Teach me how I can do that. Instruct my feet where to walk. Holy Spirit, turn my head from what I don't want to see and for what I don't need to see. But you have to pray those aggressive prayers. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I want your whole truth. I don't want lies. Don't let the enemy lie to me. If he does lie to me, expose it. Do you guys know you can pray like that? Because you have a relationship with God that you can pray ostentatious prayers. God, change me. You say that I can be changed. You say that I can walk into this life. Change me to make me do that. Well, what if I've been walking with the Lord 50 years? I mean, I'm kind of set in my ways. Not in Christ. I'm telling you, that does not pertain in the Spirit. If you yield today, I believe you can surrender all those areas to Christ. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with him. It doesn't matter how set in your ways you are. God has changed and transformed you. You start identifying with who he made you to be, and you will change. I walked about 30 years. Was it 30 years? A certain way. You know, and it was about do's and don'ts. It was about, you know, trying to please God. It was all of this behavioral stuff. And I failed miserably. Watched things I shouldn't have watched. Participated in conversations I shouldn't have participated in. All kinds of things. And then Christ started revealing a new level of truth to me. Did I deserve it? No. Was I really looking for it? Yeah, I was praying, Lord, I want your truth, your whole truth, and nothing but your truth. And you know what? When you pray that prayer, it's a dangerous prayer. And he started revealing things to me about areas of my life. And he started revealing things to me about who I was already in him, who he made me to be. And you know what? Over time, little by little, by inch by inch, glory to glory, however you want to say it, I started walking in the Spirit more and more. I started dying to myself more and more. Like to the place where, you know, I look at where I was and where I am, I say, I'm really not the same person. This is while I was a pastor. Yeah. Go figure. Pastors are supposed to have it all figured out, right? No. As a matter of fact, we could be some of the most off the rails because we're out there reading all this stuff, trying to gather information, trying to figure out what we can preach on Sunday, and we'll sometimes pull in anything we can instead of hearing from the Spirit. Guilty. But not anymore. Try to stick to His Word. Stick to what the Holy Spirit has already taught me. Not things that, you know, I wish I coulda, woulda. I'm telling you, this works because it worked in me. When you walk in the Spirit, and you walk constantly in the Spirit, things start dying off of you. I was talking to somebody this week. It's almost like certain areas of my life, I can say the enemy can't find anything in me anymore in that area. Because it's dead. It died. And I'm not going back and revisiting saying, oh, no, it's dead. Praise God. Now, if I go off here in left field and I start really going down the wrong tracks, He can bring stuff back up. But right now, in Christ, I can say those things are dead. Why? Because I died with Him on the cross. I was crucified with Jesus. When you watch the Passion of the Christ, it wasn't just Jesus up there. It was me up there with Him. In my heart, by faith. And you know what? Because of that, I don't walk the same. Because I was crucified with Him. I don't live any longer. Christ now lives in me. And the life I'm trying to live in the flesh, I'm living in faith in the Son of God and what He did. Not in what I did. Because there's no good in Mike Lindell. As much as people say, oh, Pastor Mike, such a great message, and you're living such a... No, it's Christ in me. I mean, he had to go, son, you don't have to behave this way anymore. I was crucified with you. So please identify with that. And as you start to do that, you will live differently. That's pretty good news. Amen? Is that worth an amen? Amen. Walk in the newness of life. I think, oh, there we go. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To me, that sounds kind of like a promise. If we learn to walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. John says it this way. Listen, if you keep His commandments, you're part of God. And if you're part of God, you're not going to desire to sin. See, the thing is, you can't be in hot water and cold water at the same time. You can be in lukewarm water, but you can't be in hot water and cold water at the same time. It's one or the other. You can't be in dirty water and clean water at the same time. Now, there's murky water, but you're going to be in clean water or dirty water. You're going to be in the Spirit or you're going to be in the flesh. But the beauty of it is you get to choose. With the Christ's help, with the Spirit's help. When it says, the Christ be with you, it's saying the Holy Spirit be with you. It's the Spirit of Christ. And Jesus is not up there going, oh man, they're saying the Holy Spirit is me. No, He's going, yes, you're getting it. The Holy Spirit is me. Instead of me being one person 2,000 years ago having to try to go from place to place to try to speak the good news, now I'm in you and you and you and you and you, and I'm speaking the good news all over the place. Because through the Holy Spirit, I'm everywhere. If we're walking in the Spirit. If we're not walking in the Spirit, then unfortunately, guess who people see? Sometimes such a contrary thing to what we say we are that God is blasphemed. In other words, people say, I thought you said you were a Christian. That doesn't look like Christian behavior to me. The way that you're treating me, I don't know if I believe there's a God or not. It's what it says in Romans, that the Lord, name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of your behavior. Let's not let that be us. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. If we tell people that we're going to be somewhere, try to be there, at least communicate with them. Don't be wishy-washy and all all over the place. Be somebody of integrity so that somebody can say, at least there is someone that I can trust in. Because how many call somebody and say, hey, please, can you, like a salesperson, you want to buy something from somebody. I want to buy something from you. Can you call me back? Yes, I'll call you back. And they write, you think they're going to, next day, don't hear anything. And, you know, it's like the whole world is like gone to sleep when it comes to, I think, service. Right, Moses? Moses knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure everybody, I was talking to somebody the other day, a customer of mine. I said, how many times have you called a major company? I could say the name. How many times have you called this company to help you with this? Oh, this is my third time. And no one's called you back? No one called them back. And, you know, gets the name of the person and everything. It's because people have lost the ability to have integrity. So guess what? We could really shine if we would just be integrity people. If we could just say, Lord, help me to keep my word as you keep your word. Help me to follow through with what I say. And you know what? I bet we're going to get raises. I bet we're going to get promotions. Me, I get new customers all the time. So they say, I haven't met anybody like you. I'm just calling you back. I know. It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, okay, you're making it real easy to grow a business nowadays. You know, so be truthful at your job. Be on time. Those kind of things that, you know, don't, you know, and the thing is if you just are somebody that really isn't doing drugs nowadays, you're going to go way far. I'm telling you, based on managers and stuff that I've talked to, they said, half my employees are out of it. So if you want to really make a difference in the world, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, and you will make a difference in this world. I guarantee it, because the Word says it. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you that we can walk in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we can reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we're not orphans out here somewhere and trying to find our way, but we have been adopted as sons and daughters, and because of that, you live in us through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we surrender our hearts. We surrender our lives, Lord. We declare that we need you because we want to walk in the Spirit. We don't want to fulfill the desires of the lusts of the flesh. We want to be different than the world. We want to be transformed, Lord, by the renewing of our minds, that we're going to know what the good and perfect will of God is. And Lord, I just release right now this truth, not just in this body, Lord, but this truth in this city, this truth, Lord, in this nation, God, that we can walk in the Spirit, that your people can be different, that we don't have to be the same old people yesterday or today that we were yesterday. We can be different, Lord. We can be changed. And Lord, I believe that as we do that, we'll help reach a nation. We'll help reach a city. We'll help reach a community. We'll help reach a workplace, Lord, by being the light of the glorious gospel, living words that people can read. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing.
be light, walk in the Spirit, and blow people away. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Love you.